Lord, open the ears to our hearts. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, Wilbur gave us a sermon, and he explained to us that all the readings that we have on any one Sunday are linked in some way. I'd just like to say I failed to find a link between the one that Mary read and what we're going to hear about. But so I'm just going to concentrate on the gospel today. When my daughter Annika was 10 years old, we were out in the car together one day, and she was telling me all of her problems. She had a big, long list for a little girl. One of her friends had been mean to her. She had no nice clothes. She didn't like her brothers, and so on and so on. Annika, I said, I think you need to learn to count your blessings. Well, what does that mean? She asked. So I went on to explain. She and I came up with a big, long list of blessings in the car that day, and she felt much better for it. The very next day, Richard, my husband, was having a bit of a moan about a few things, and she turned to me and said, I think Dad needs to learn to count his blessings, don't you, Mum? Counting your blessings is one way of praying, and it can change a negative view of life into something more positive. There's a movement right now going on in the world. It's called the gratitude movement. You might have heard of it. Embrace the power of gratitude, people are told, and good things will come your way. Oprah Winfrey has been credited with having started this whole movement, although I think it goes a bit before her time. And she encouraged her viewers to keep a gratitude journal. A gratitude journal is a journal you can use to record what you're grateful for on a consistent daily basis, serving as a reminder of all that is good in your life. This is a quote of hers. Be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough. But is gratitude enough to improve people's lives? And just who or what are people grateful to? It seems to me there's something missing. And it can even be a damaging way to think if someone is having a life in distress. An authentic philosophical principle must be universal in its application and reach. In today's gospel reading, Jesus gives his disciples a prayer pattern to use in the Lord's Prayer. Teach us to pray, his disciples asked as they saw him return from a time in prayer. It appears odd that they would ask him to teach them to pray, as they were all adult Jewish men used to praying set prayers each and every day, several times a day. At the start of each day, and when the hour of sleep approached, they would recite the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. That's Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. And you'll remember that in Luke 10:27, a few weeks ago, when the lawyer asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, Jesus asked him, what is written in the law? And the lawyer answered him with that very same verse. A second discipline required them to say a series of benediction three times a day. This is called the Tefillah. Blessed be thou, Lord, our God and God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God, great, mighty, and fearful, most high God, master of heaven and earth, blessed be thou, the shield of Abraham. The daily times of prayer and the 18 benedictions they said every day before meals were Israel's great treasures. But the disciples wanted something more from Jesus. They wanted to know from their rabbi how to pray, as John the Baptist, another rabbi, had taught his disciples. Jesus gives them a prayer pattern. He starts with the word Father, which is radical, as the Jews were not even allowed to say out loud or write down the name of God, Yahweh. The name was regarded as too sacred to be uttered. They used instead Adonai, Lord. So to start the prayer with Father is immediately letting the disciples know that Jesus is God's son, and that they are also now children of God and can enjoy a personal relationship with him. The prayer is a perfect prayer pattern, as it contains all three elements of the teaspoon prayer, which I think I've told you about before. Thanks and praise, sorry and please. The thanks and praise is at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Father, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. Then there's a please. Give us day by day the food we need. Followed by a sorry. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who does us wrong. And lastly, another please. In John's version, we heard lead us not into temptation, but my version said, save us from the time of trial. Meaning save us from having to go through really unbearable situations in life, persecution even. Jesus knew already that he would be martyred, and he wanted the disciples to be saved from such a trial. In chapter 22 of Luke, Jesus tells the disciples twice to pray, save us from the time of trial, as he is praying on the Mount of Olives before his arrest. When we say the Lord's Prayer, and it's actually on the front of your pew sheet, we add a sentence at the end that is not there in the original. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever, amen. It is believed that this was added later by Henry VIII, and it's in the St. James version of the Bible. It's not, interestingly, said by Roman Catholics. They stick to the original. So that's it. It's a really short and simple prayer compared to the prayers they already knew. It certainly wouldn't take hours to recite it. But then Jesus goes on to tell the disciples how to pray by telling them a story about a man who goes in the middle of the night to a friend's house wanting to borrow bread for some unexpected visitors who have turned up. He says the neighbor will not get out of bed because of the friendship, but he will get up and give the neighbor everything he asks for because he is not ashamed to keep asking. Jesus goes on to say, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. In other words, be persistent in your prayers. All three verbs, ask, seek, and knock, are present tense commands. And so we are told to ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And the three words seem to suggest an ever-increasing intensity in prayer. Jesus ends with an example of how people respond to requests from their children for their daily food, a need that he has told us to pray for to the Father in the Lord's Prayer. He says that if a child asks for a fish to eat, then we would not give the child a snake. Small fish and small snakes can look alike, but of course the snake is a dangerous animal, unlike the fish, which is purely nutritional. Also, if a child asks for an egg, we would not give the child a scorpion, even though they might look similar. In Judea, scorpions are white, and about the same size as an egg, and can look similar to an egg when curled up. If we who are imperfect know to only give good things to our children when they ask, then our Father, who is perfect, will give the Holy Spirit to his children when they ask. Asking for our daily bread means for whatever we need to get through the day ahead, including spiritual food. When you don't know what to pray or how to pray, use the prayer pattern of the Lord's Prayer for guidance. Even though it is a communal prayer, you can be assured that if you are saying it alone, there are many others throughout the world saying it too. It's what joins us together as one, just like Holy Communion. Amen.